Amen. This Sunday all across our nation is Sanctity of Life Sunday, hence the reason for the video. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but I just want to say to you, one of the greatest experiences you can ever have and get coming to grips with the reality of the human being inside the womb and their need for protection is to see someone who shares their testimony and says, I was one of those children that my mother contemplated aborting. And to see them standing before you face to face and talking to you and all the good things that have come through their life and the love and the relationships they've been able to share, what an argument for the reality of life in the womb being human and being deserving to be protected when you see someone who has survived one of those times, when through a pregnancy testing center or crisis center, the mother has been advised that that really is a real human being in your womb. And maybe they have one of those sonogram machines and they can see the heart beating or inside that little baby in the womb and then realize that is a human being and they should be protected just as much as I should be protected. And then when you see them grow up and live great lives, it just makes you know without a doubt that those lives should be protected. Well, that's all I'm going to say about that, but it's something that's very near and dear to my heart. I'm going to ask our guys that are going to help me this morning, if they'll come up and get some of these pens and start passing them out. If you don't have a pen, I'm going to need you to help. I'm going to need you to share some things after a while if you're willing, and I need you to write some things on the bulletin. On the back side of your bulletin, you notice there's a whole page with lines and things on it. If you can, I'm going to ask you to write some things. So if you don't have a pen available or a pencil, would you just raise your hand so these gentlemen can get you a pen or pencil so you can participate? Anybody? Uh-huh. There's some back in there, over here and here. Let's grab some pens and pencils. Our challenge verses for our task this year in drawing near include James chapter 4, verse 8, and Mark chapter 12, verse 30 that we looked at last week for a few minutes. And we discussed these two verses last week, but I want us to review quickly in case you weren't here. As we draw near to God, so that He will draw near to us. We talked about we know that we need God. We are not God ourselves. We know we need God in our lives. We know we need His presence. We know we need His help. And how does the Bible say we get there? We get that help, we get Him near to us as we draw near to Him. And so we draw near to Him then in order to love Him, to love on Him, to have a loving relationship with Him. As Mark chapter 12 said that we, and Jesus said, we draw near to Him so that we can love Him with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And that, Jesus said, was the greatest commandment of all the commandments. And Jesus said that commandment, and love your neighbor as yourself, summed up the whole law of the Old Testament. So if you want to find what's the most important thing for you in this life, it's learning to draw near to God and establish a love relationship like we talked about last year. How can we know He's God? If you don't have that, you can't begin to draw near to Him. But find out that He's real. Find out where He's working. Find out how to begin that relationship. And then secondly, spend the rest of your days drawing nearer to Him, seeking the divine, drawing near to the Holy One, enjoying a loving relationship with a loving God. That is the highest goal and the greatest achievement that any human being can ever achieve. And that's the purpose of the church, is for us to come together and help each other achieve that goal. We can do all the things the Bible says. We can have prophecies, and we can sacrifice, and we can have all the bells and whistles and all the things that will attract a crowd. And we can have thousands and thousands of people here, but if we don't have love for God, the love of God back to us and in us, it amounts to nothing from God's perspective. And so getting that loving relationship is the most important thing. But then why is it so hard for us to feel like we're close to Him and living in his love and enjoying him. I'll just be honest. There are times when it just feels like he's maybe 100 miles away. Have you ever been there? There are seasons we go through when it just seems like I can't find him. I don't know how to get to him and how to be able to enjoy him. And I think the solution to that is different for each one of us. Sometimes it's because of something in our life that's hindering that needs to change. And that would be different for me than it might be for you. And sometimes there are things that God is wanting us to bring into our life, new, vital, that maybe we haven't yet discovered. Or maybe we know to do, but we haven't yet taken the risk and the time and the energy and the commitment to get there in order to draw near to God. One of the reasons I think it's so hard for us to draw near to him is because he's told us exactly how to do it. And it's not the way that we usually would naturally want to be able to get close to God. You know, I don't know about you, but if I had my druthers, I'd want God just to be like a genie in a lantern, you know, that you could just rub the lantern and then tell him what to do. I need this, I need this, I want this, I want that. Here's my life, and here's what I think would make it complete. God, come and perform for me. To be honest, right? I mean, we're all kind of selfish creatures at base. If the Holy Spirit's not in charge of us, or society's not putting parameters on us, we can be really ugly, selfish creatures. Self-centered, self-focused, everything. But God says, in order to draw near, for him to draw near to us, we have to draw near to him. We have to, in other words, begin a relationship with him like we talked about last week, and then continually be drawing near to him. And that means to be getting closer to him. That means to integrate God's agenda into our agenda. Does everybody understand that? What are God's plans? What are God's dreams? What are God's desires? What is God like? What does God tell us he's wanting to accomplish here on earth? What is he wanting us to be doing? Finding out those things. So we come to Sunday Bible study. We come to morning worship service. We come to Sunday night discipleship. We come to Wednesday night Bible study. We come to the Tuesday morning Bible studies, Monday morning Bible studies, Thursday morning Bible studies. Why? So we can find out what it is he's wanting in our lives. But just to find it out and not to do anything about it is like looking into a mirror and seeing the truth and the reality and what is needed, and then just turning around and forgetting what we've seen and just living like we always lived before. And it's foolishness. It's like deceiving ourselves. It's worthless. It's faith without works, which is dead. And so it not only means integrating God's agenda into our agenda, but it means putting God's agenda before my agenda. Now, that's the hard part. Most of us don't mind accessorizing God into our schedule. But to put God's agenda prioritized into my schedule, that's radical, right? I mean, that may mean some reshuffling. It's not just God when it's convenient, but it's God who is preeminent in anything else when it's convenient. That's a whole different ballgame, but that is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things, food, clothing, shelter, all these things that people worry about and work for and spend their whole lives consumed with, all these things shall be added unto you. So God says, don't just integrate me, don't just accessorize me, prioritize me. Put my agenda for your life before your agenda for your life. And the good thing about that is what we find out, what, you know, we think, oh, we're going to lose this, we're going to lose that, it's going to be so hard, and we're going to be so unhappy because we're not going to be doing what we want to do, and we're not going to be getting what we want to be getting. But what we find out, that's a paradoxical thing almost, is that when we put God's agenda first, we learn that it's better for us, and we end up liking it more, and we end up being more appreciative and finding more contentment and more fulfillment, and things start working out the way that God intended for them to work out. But if we're always putting our agenda first, it's just always knocking our head up against a brick wall, and things just all get all out of kilter, and we're just trying to ride and hold on and survive. That is not what God wants for our lives. He wants us to have life and to have it more abundantly. That comes from putting Him on the throne of your life, not in the closet of your life. Amen? Okay, all right. And what we find then is that the God who seems so far away, who seems so distant, when He's on the throne in our lives, and when we've integrated His priorities and agenda into ours, and we've prioritized His agenda over ours, we begin to see Him working in our lives, through our lives, and around our lives, and sometimes in ways we never would have dreamed possible. And sometimes even in spite of our lives, we see Him doing that. But we're able to see Him and appreciate Him and therefore be able to love Him more when we do that. So God says, get on my page and I'll get on your page. Get on my page first and then I'll make your page something you're going to be proud of. A life worth living. A life you can be thankful for. And then he gives us some more description of what that is in the second half of James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. But then he gives us a description of how to do that. What does he say? Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. What's he talking about, cleansing our hands? Is this like the Pontius Pilate moment? When they were trying to figure out what to do with Jesus, and Pontius is kind of wanting to save Jesus. He says, I don't find any fault in Him, but the crowds are crying out, crucify Him, crucify Him. And it just seems like their voracious appetite for His blood is overwhelming everything. And Pilate gets a bowl of water, and he stands before the people, and he washes his hands, and he says, I wash my hands of this matter. I find no fault in Him, but your will be done. In other words, he was saying, I'm innately innocent here. I'm going to try to play innocent here. I'm going to have an innocent persona in front of all of you people and in front of God Himself. But at the same time, I'm going to let you do whatever evil and wrong thing that you're wanting to do. He's not talking about cleansing your hands in that manner, like you're just innocent and everybody else is the problem. He's talking about more like that Old Testament regulation for washing and for a commitment to God, a consecration to God, and for purification. And it was a symbolic thing they did, washing their hands or washing their whole body at certain times, symbolizing a spiritual cleansing, symbolizing, God, I'm confessing, repenting of all my sins so that I can enjoy being in your presence. And that's what he's talking about here. He calls them sinners. He's worried about the spiritual condition of their hearts. And he's saying, wash your heart. Cleanse yourself from sins. Well, how do we do that in the New Testament? Do we just work harder to do good things, and so we keep doing some bad things, and then we start working to do more good things so that the scale before God is tipped in our direction? No. Confess and repent. Thank you. Confess and repent. What does it mean to confess? It doesn't mean to go to a priest or to go to someone and hope you get your sins absolved. It means acknowledge before God. You're talking to God, not me or some other person. Acknowledge before God that you have sinned and take God's attitude toward that sin. To where you speak the same thing that God speaks about your sin. And God knows there's sin there. And so you acknowledge, yes, God, I acknowledge my sin, and I want to hate it just the way that the Bible says you hate sin. And then repent. What does repent mean? To turn. To take a new direction. To quit going in sin's direction, start going in God's direction. In other words, what you're saying in your heart you want, you're willing to do with your feet. Put into action what's inside of you. And so you make a turn in a new direction. Doesn't mean you'll always be perfect in that area. Doesn't mean you won't slide back into that sin at some later time. But it means at that moment, you've acknowledged your sin, and you're turning from your sin. And the Bible says as soon as you do that, God forgives you of that sin, cleanses you of all unrighteousness. Your fellowship with God is free to flow, to hear from God and to talk to God and Him be listening. Bible says God doesn't even want to hear our prayers when our hearts aren't right with Him. Prayers of a righteous man availeth much. It doesn't say an unrighteous man. He always tells us, David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And throughout the Old Testament and throughout the New Testament, if we have known unrepentant sin in our lives, it hinders our prayer life. And we hinder our prayer life, we're hindering our communication with God. How can you be enjoying a loving relationship with God if you can't even talk with Him? Because of sin that you know is there. Now, all of us have sins that we don't yet know of. I'm talking about known sins that the Holy Spirit has brought to your mind and brought you conviction for. And as we grow, we become more like Christ, and we deal with some, and then He shows us some more. What we're responsible for are the sins that God has shown us are sins, for dealing with those. So cleanse our hands, us sinners. It's a daily thing, right? It's not like any of us are perfect and pure for the rest of our life. Every single day, every single hour, I'm going before God silently in my mind in prayer. God, am I right with You? God, is there anything I need to change? Did I have a bad attitude toward that person? Did I treat that person unfairly? Was I prejudiced against this individual? Did I do the wrong thing here? Did I make the wrong decision here? And constantly we're just asking before God, God, search me and know my heart and see if there's any unclean way within me. Try me and show me if there's something I need to change. Purge me. Cleanse me, like with hyssop, the psalmist said. You know, just wash me and make me clean. As I acknowledge the things You show me that are wrong. As we do that, our communication stays right with God all day long. Do not wait until you go to bed at night to pray and say, and Jesus, forgive me of all my sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Because your whole day might have been messed up by the thing you said to your wife first thing in the morning. When you kicked her out of bed and told her to go cook your breakfast, and you called her a name because she was going slow, that may have messed up your communication with God. Your horizontal life and relationships may have messed up your vertical relationships. And so if you don't confess and repent of that sin and get your lazy backside out of the bed and go cook breakfast for your wife after you've treated her so bad, you're going to have a lack of communication with God. And some point in that day, you may realize you really needed to have communication with God because you really need Him. And the truth is, we always really need Him. It's just we don't see it unless there's a car wreck happening in front of our faces or something of that nature, or some big decision that we need divine wisdom and input from. Well, okay, all the husbands are mad at me. I guess I was just using a personal example. I don't know. And then he says, and purify your hearts. Well, obviously, if you have sin in your heart, if I have iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear, you need to get rid of that. You need to purify your heart from that. The difficulty is so much of life is not a sin versus a holiness issue as it is a good versus a God issue. We can fill our days up with the entanglements of this world, working, making a living, caring for stuff, washing the dishes, cleaning the clothes, mowing the yard, working hard. We can fill our whole day and our whole month and our whole life with the mundane things that are temporary and of the earth and leave God totally out of the agenda. These are not bad things. These are good things, but can become bad things if they take preeminence over the God integration in our lives, over the God priority in our lives. How many times, I can't tell you how many times I've heard, and I'm sure you've probably heard it too, people say, well, I just don't have time to pray in the mornings. I just don't have time to go to church on Sunday. I just don't have time to go to Wednesday night Bible study, which is really great. I don't have time to go to Sunday evening discipleship groups. Well, why don't you have time? Do you have time? If you can't go Sunday morning, can you go Sunday night? If you can't go Sunday morning, Sunday night, can you go Wednesday night? Why don't you have time if God is integrated and is prioritized? And if he's not, that's one of those things to purify out of your heart. The Bible says, guard your heart. Take every thought captive, everything that tugs at your heart, wanting your heart's attention, wanting your time's attention, wanting your energy's attention, wanting your passion's attention, all those things, take captive in your minds and judge them by the word of God, the revealed will of God for your life, and see if they are good or if they are God things for your priority. We have to do a lot of good things. We're commanded to do a lot of good things. Have a family, have a marriage, take care of your things, be honest, pay your debts, work hard, 6 days a week, all that. But God still has time to be prioritized when we do the things the way that he wants us to do them. So, all right, now, everyone have pens and paper? I want you to take your handout you got for a bulletin this morning on the back side of it, and I want you to write some things. I want you to write quickly because you don't want your pot roast to burn. On the very top line, write this sentence. Do I want to be closer to God? Question mark. Write it quickly. If you're not writing, I ain't speaking anymore. We're just going to sit here. Nah. Do I want to be closer to God? The next line, write this. What would that look like? What would that look like? In other words, what would I have more contentment? Would I have more peace? Would I be more involved at church? Would I be teaching a class? Would I just be happy, full of faith? Would I be trusting God? What would that look like? And then the next line, what would help me to get there? What would help me to get there? In other words, what practical steps do I need to be taking to make getting closer to God work? Do I need to be adding some things to my schedule, the God things that have been kind of left out? And by the way, you can be just right with God, and today God wants to show you something new. If you write something in there, it doesn't mean you've totally blown it. Are there anything things God would have you to subtract from your schedule in order to draw closer to him, to make that happen? What practical things? Get up 15 minutes earlier in the morning? Read your Bible 15 minutes more a day. Participate in some ministry activity that's near and dear to your heart, but you put away. What would help you to get there? And then the last sentence I want you to write, what is God telling me to do now? What is God telling me to do now? What is God telling me to do now? And then the last sentence, how could the church help me to get there? How could the church help me to get there? How could the church help me to get there? So you got, do I want to be closer to God? What would that look like? What would help me to get there? Additions, subtractions. What is God telling me to do? How could the church help me to get there? I want us just to bow our heads and close our eyes, and I just want you to kind of pray through this list. Is this something you really want? Or did you mean to go to Luby's this morning and you accidentally made the wrong turn and came to 1600 Boca Chica? Do you really want to draw closer to God? And pray, just silently before God. He knows your thoughts. He knows your heart. Even the things you can't express, he knows. Spend some time with God. Ask him to give you answers to these questions. as God answers your prayers, gives you direction, gives you his vision for your life and for drawing near to him, gives you the means that he has in mind for that, write them down. Take the pen or pencil that you have. You can open your eyes to write so you get them in the right place. And write them down. What would that mean? Do I want to be closer? Yes. What would that look like? I can think of some things for me. Maybe I need to exercise more faith. Less doubt, more faith. Less worry, more faith. Less fear, more faith. Yeah, I don't know what it is for you. Whatever God's shown you. What would help me to get there? Maybe I need to practice repeating Scripture and what Scripture says about the importance of faith and the need of faith. Scriptures that tell me about the good things of God and his plan for my life that is good and the good that he wants to do. I need to quote those scriptures. Maybe I need to pray those scriptures back to God. Ask God for help. Subtractions. For me, it might be refuse to worry. I don't know what it is for you. Just refuse to worry. Okay, it may look like the sky is falling, but God can stop that if he wants. Or God can use it for good if he wants. I'm going to pray about it, but I'm not going to worry about it. What is it that God's telling you to do? You could have 100 good ideas, but what's the God idea? What do you feel God convicting your soul? What's God stirring you about? Is it something to add, an addition? Is it the subtraction? What is it God's saying? He's telling me something right now. Speak truth. Not worries. How can the church help me to get there? Is there anything the church can do as a group? Individuals in the church that they can do to help reinforce the good that God's wanting to do? You need people to pray for you? You need more prayer time in the services? Do you need people to call you and wake you up on Sunday morning to come to the Sunday Bible study? Need more church fellowships so you can enjoy getting to know other people in the church? How could the church help you to achieve your goal? Yeah, all right, you're writing some answers there. All right, we're going to have our microphones available. A couple guys are going to have microphones up here. And is there anyone who would be willing to share some of their answers? Where are our microphones at? Guys, why don't y'all come up here in the middle of the rows. Anybody here want to draw closer to God this year, or are we just barking up the wrong tree? Are we hunting for coons and there's no coons here? What are we doing? Anybody here want to draw closer to God? All right, about six of you. That's wonderful. All right. Well, my time's not been in vain. All right. That's great. All right. Wonderful. If you could be closer to God, what would it look like? Anybody want to share a personal vision of what that would look like? Anybody? I kind of shared some things. Marcia.
I'm sorry, my voice sounds terrible. We did something yesterday that was, as a group, 15 of us from the church went to Bibleville, and we listened to music that was uplifting and encouraging, and we had a good time of fellowship together. We ate evening meal together, and that was really good for us. Helped us to draw closer to God.
Amen. That was a 55 and older group, right? Excellent. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. I'm just clarifying so people know if they want to go next month on whatever we're doing, that they're welcome to. It was cool. All right. Somebody else. What would it look like if you were to draw nearer to God, what would you look like if you were nearer to God? Anybody? Sir? Oh. More understanding. Thank you. God bless you. We all need that, don't we? Amen. Anybody else?
Well, there's a great book I read back in the late 70s by John White called Daring to Draw Near, and it totally transformed my life because I kind of had a stereotype about how one should pray and et cetera. Uh-huh. And I didn't like imitating other people. I felt like God wanted me to. And that book really helped me understand that David had his own relationship with God, and he wrote the Psalms, and God held me responsible to have my own relationship with him and keep him involved in all my day, not just a portion of it.
Good.
And so basically that fundamentally transformed my life, to just to understand it's just about communicating with God and keeping him involved in your decisions, et cetera, and
Amen.
Just have a prayerful attitude. And that, in a way, gets away from a legalism stereotype of having to have a time or whatever else. It's just a matter of getting to know God at the quiet times and not dwelling on being like somebody else that you feel is intimidating or whatever else, because it's all about you and him, not impressing anybody.
Yeah.
Because in Matthew it talks clearly about when you pray, don't pray in the front of other people to show off.
To show off, right.
So, or when you give, give privately, et cetera, so you don't get praise. So, but it's all about, you know, whatever you give or whatever you pray, do it between God and you, because that's what really matters.
Amen.
And then your life will reflect that.
Thank you, Eugene. And you know, one of the things he said too that started him getting an answer there that he needed to draw near to God was that he had read a book written by a Christian about that topic. And one of the things we pray regularly is that God would give us some Christian author or tapes or to listen to that we can hear God speaking through. Just daring to draw near. There you go. Perfect. Thank you. Anybody else before we move on? Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Yes, as Pastor James mentioned, there is becoming alive. And if we all don't confess our sins daily, as Pastor Steve said, it's very easy to be unaware that we become dead and lost and numb to the realization, and how that can impact your marriage, you know, and your relationship with God. So it's coming back to life, drawing near to God and coming back to life and realizing the effect that sin has not only between you and God, but also in your marriage, if you're married.
Amen. Amen. All right, how would we get there? Are there any specific steps to accomplishing these goals? Trinity?
For me, I personally haven't been spending enough time reading the Bible and doing my quiet time with him. And I definitely haven't been spending enough time just being quiet in his presence and listening to him. I know that's something that a lot of people struggle with too, because it's really hard to sit and be quiet and not really think anything and just wait for him to speak or move. But it's really important. So that's a really solid step that you can take 10 minutes, 20 minutes, just quieting yourself and listening.
Very good. Very good. And it is hard because so many things are pulling at our hearts for attention, right? I mean, so many responsibilities and distractions and everything. And yeah, it's hard, but you just got to decide to do it. It's good. That's good. How can the church help? Anybody thought of something that they feel God's wanting them to do, but they can think of a way that the church could be a help? Effie in the back?
Last week I saw in the bulletin that they were offering like parenting classes in the church. So I felt I was kind of happy. I said, there are things I might have to learn from this couple who will be organized. So I made up my mind that I was going to be attending their parenting classes on Sundays at 7 p.m. So that was good for me.
Good, good, excellent. That class is at what time? 6 o'clock? Starts at 6 until 7:30. Excellent. All right. How can the church help? Ramiro?
I found it very helpful for having, you know, joining a specific group if you're in a Bible study class to request prayer. You know, sometimes we might shy away from that for whatever reason, but it is very important to let others know so that you can, you know, they can share the burden with you and pray for you. So that is very important.
Amen. Ask people to pray with you, pray for you. And Bill, back over here.
I'm ready to go on a mission trip with you.
All right. All right. Now you're talking. Excellent. Anybody else? Armando? I'm sorry.
How many of you guys remember the Joy Journal? You guys remember doing that series? Well, there was a week when the Joy Journal started that it was like a common talk among us where everyone was like, hey, did you fill out your Joy Journal? Hey, how's your... So for me, that accountability of having the whole week, you know, in your mind, you know, the theme of the sermon and the theme of the series was really helpful, you know, that we had something, like some homework that we had to, you know, keep in our mind throughout the week. So I think that was really cool that the church kind of held each other accountable and stuff.
All right, homework. All right, somebody wants a homework assignment. Man, can we give him a homework assignment? Hey, that's great. I've got one for all of us, actually. Which brings us to that point. Here's what your homework is. I want you to write down on a piece of paper, purpose statement. Toward the bottom of your paper, write purpose statement. And then write method statement underneath that. And then write values statement underneath that. And at the top, I want you to write my life and underline it as the title. My life. And so what you'll be doing, I want you to be praying this week and asking God to give you his purpose statement for your life. Why in the world are you here? What was God thinking? I mean that in a good way. Both of them. God, what's my purpose statement? I live to draw near to God, be true to the Lord, share his word, enjoy his word, help people at the church, help people find God for salvation. What I live for. And then under your method statement, say, I will accomplish my purpose by, and write out four or five things that will help you, that you can specifically do that will help you to accomplish the purpose for your life. If I live to share the gospel, that's my purpose, then maybe it's I will witness, you know, six times this week. Whatever God's telling you to do. It's not, I'm not telling you you have to do that to be right with God. I'm just saying, I want to share the gospel six times this week. Or I want to leave tracks when I go different places. Or I want to live in such a way that people will see the difference and will give me an opportunity to tell them why I'm different. Bullet point, 3-4 different ways, methods you can use to accomplish your purpose. And then under value statement, say, these are the things that will be important to me as you fulfill your purpose and you use these methods to do it. These are the things that will be important to me. Well, if you're living to share the gospel, well, the Word of God is going to be important to you. the gospel is going to be valuable to you. Making opportunities to share the gospel is going to be a high priority, a value in your life. Looking for God brought people into your life that need the gospel is going to be a priority. Prayer for God to bring the people that you can share the gospel with is going to be a priority. Prayer that God would work on their hearts when you do share the gospel with them, that's going to be a priority. So, I mean, you could just, these are the things I value the highest in achieving the purpose through the methods that God wants me to use. Does that make sense? That's your homework assignment. You don't have to do it now. Bring it back with you next week, and maybe some of you, a few of you, a handful of you could share some of the things that God's shown you for your purpose statement for your life. And by the way, those are all going to be different. They're all going to involve God and His will. But some of you might be to share the gospel. Some of you might be to teach the Bible. And others of you might be to show kindness and love. Others of you might be to help the ministries at the church in any way you possibly can. And I mean, they're just all different for each one of us. We're all created different, but for the same purpose, to help each other and help accomplish God's kingdom goal. Would you do that? All right. Before we close today, we're going to have a closing song. We're not going to have an invitation, but I want Ray and Cindy Haygood to come up here. Where are you guys? Ray and Cindy are celebrating 50 years of marriage. Next Tuesday is their 50th anniversary. I know we don't do this all the time, but you know what? We need to. Amen. Congratulations, you guys. Congratulations. I want y'all to pray with me as we pray for them, would you? Y'all can hold hands. It's all right. You're not going to hurt each other. All right. Father in heaven, we just thank you for marriage, for your plan of marriage, your gift of marriage. And Father, for these two have been faithful and committed and serving you and serving each other and living a life together. God, you are the giver of all good things. And so we thank you for this marriage. We thank you for the love they have for each other and for you. Bless them. Give them another 50 years, God. And we thank you and look forward to the good things we'll see in the future. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Maybe not 50. James, let's have a closing song. Let's all stand for our closing song.
Before we close, this week on our website, we will have a Drawing Near to God page. And on that website, we'll have all the notes and sermons and anything else that we put on there to help you reach out and tell somebody about what's going on in our church. I want to encourage you. I was encouraged this last weekend to invite one person in church and bring a person. Just don't invite them, but say, hey, why don't we meet at Starbucks and we can go together to church. And the turnout when people do that is phenomenal. So invite somebody. Tell them what we're doing at the church. Tell them that we're in a series called Drawing Near to God. Tell them to go to our website, our webpage, and all the sermons will be on there. All the notes will be on there. Even past sermons will be on there, but specifically Drawing Near to God, okay? Let's hold hands and sing. Y'all ready? We go out with a gusto, singing out to God. Ready? Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us, we welcome you. God bless you all. You have a great week.